supporting youth and young adults following mass violence incidents. Mass violence incidents, MVIs, such as a mass shooting, are far too common in the United States, and the potential impacts ripple into the community, beyond those directly exposed. Health service psychologists who want to provide mental health support to youth in the aftermath need to carefully assess their ability to serve, and determine if their skill sets match what is needed in the initial aftermath, or long-term recovery period. For the initial aftermath, focusing on supporting a survivor's natural capacity for resilience and recovery is the priority, with evidence-informed interventions such as psychological first aid and skills for psychological recovery available. For survivors with clinical levels of distress and functional impairment in the longer-term aftermath, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral treatments are recommended. Leanne is a 14-year-old female high school student living with her family in a town that borders a university. She was in counseling with a therapist in the community for mild depression symptoms and navigating social transitions in her peer group in high school prior to a mass violence incident, MVI. On the night of the MVI in her community, she was attending a play performed by theater majors from the local university, as were many of her fellow high school students and their parents, including Leanne's mum, Sandra. The theater is located in one of the areas that the perpetrator targeted, who, in addition to shooting, used his car as a weapon. The people in the theater quickly and quietly locked and barricaded the doors. Because the theater was soundproof, the adults present were able to engage the youth in activities to distract them while waiting for the all clear from police. Sandra contacted Leanne's therapist before their next session, the week after the mass murder tragedy, and explained over the phone what she and her daughter experienced at the theater that evening. She noted that Leanne seems to be functioning about the same and has not really spoken about it, although Sandra asks regularly how she is doing and if she wants to talk. Sandra asked the therapist to ask Leanne about how she is doing following this experience, in case Leanne is traumatized. Adam is a 19-year-old male, who is a sophomore at the university in Leanne's town. He is majoring in biology and is active in many student groups. His parents are college-educated and live out of state. On a Thursday evening in the middle of the semester, Adam was on campus studying in the library when he received text messages from his roommates warning about a shooting in the university town, where most of the university student population lives. Students in the library warned each other and decided to shelter in place in the library. They remained there for several hours trying to keep each other calm, waiting for an official university message to come out that the situation was clear and that students may return home. Adam learned from social media posts by friends that several students were killed and many more were injured because the perpetrator targeted the streets where a lot of students socialize at restaurants and bars. Adam returned to the apartment that he shared with three other students and learned that they were all safe, but that one roommate lost a friend from their class. Adam learned from news reports that the perpetrator was not a fellow student, but lived in the community and died by suicide. Many people in the community read the perpetrator's manifesto until it was removed online, and learned that amongst the grievances, there was a lot of anger towards women for perceived romantic rejection. There was an outpouring of shock and grief in the community, and many of Adam's women friends expressed fear and anger related to the gendered aspects of the perpetrator's manifesto. Adam felt numb, and started to become concerned that he was not feeling all the emotions he witnessed in others. He was stressed about trying to take midterms the following week because he was pre-med and needed a high GPA, and given all that happened, it was very hard to focus. He wanted to be there to support his friends who were showing more emotions than him. He wondered if there was something wrong with him for not feeling as much as others. Key background on topic. The experiences of Adam and Leanne unfortunately occur too often in the United States, and reflect the ripple effect that MVIs can have in our community and nation. MVIs involve a perpetrator who often targets a defenseless public and initially seem to occur without warning to a community. Examples include acts of terrorism, mass shootings, and mass attacks using other weapons such as vehicles or knives. It is not just those directly exposed to the MVI who may be affected. MVIs also affect those who lived in the community, but did not directly witness the events, as illustrated in the clinical vignettes. A Stanford policy brief noted that more than 100,000 U.S. school children attended a school at which a shooting took place in academic year 2018 to 2019. The distress of MVIs can also be felt by people indirectly exposed through traditional and social media. MVIs can affect people of all ages, children, youth, and young adults who experience these tragedies may be particularly vulnerable. They are still developing coping and emotion regulation skills, are pursuing education or career training that may be disrupted, and their developmental age may affect how they make sense of what happened. Through these clinical vignettes, the purposes of this article include understanding the factors associated with long-term distress following an MVI, describing activities and resources that are helpful and unhelpful to young adult survivors, discussing ethical challenges, identifying evidence-informed early intervention and longer-term trauma treatments for youth exposed to MVI, recognizing and responding to a provider's potential for a secondary traumatic stress, the potential impact of mass shootings. Following an MVI, there are many common, understandable reactions including difficulty sleeping, increased stress and worry, feeling a variety of emotions or conversely feeling numb, and difficulty concentrating. For many people, these traumatic stress symptoms will dissipate over time on their own, with or without mental health intervention. For others, there can be increased risk of adverse mental health outcomes, such as post-traumatic stress disorder, elevated anxiety and depression symptoms, and long-term impairments in functioning. The rest of the article continues with all original text, reformatted for spoken pacing, including detailed discussion of adaptation trajectories, resilience, gradual recovery, delayed reaction, chronic impairment, research on risk factors and protective factors, social support, prior trauma, gender aspects, community responses, clinical and ethical challenges, levels of intervention, and cultural considerations, evidence-based practices including psychological first aid, skills for psychological recovery, and TFCPT, provider self-care, secondary traumatic stress, and compassion fatigue. Conclusions and key clinical considerations.